We're on.
Yep.
Okay. So, this is Stephanie, my husband Anthony.
Yep.
Yeah. Your name is Yep?
Yep.
All right. Well, this is going to be Off-Centered Archers. Thank you for listening if you're like one of the ones listening. Like viewer one or listener, not viewer yet, until we start off the YouTube. But this is going to be a podcast for, I forgot what it was. Don't laugh at me.
You want me to just restart it?
No. No, we can go. We're just two average people, you know. We started shooting, and this is going to be for any average person out there. If you have kids, if you have 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, and you start as a hobby, or if you want to start as, you know, a hunting lifestyle, it could be for pretty much anyone. We're not experts. We're not even close to experts. I know I'm not. This guy sitting next to me might be more of an expert than me.
I'm not an expert. I'm just a good shot.
You're just full of useless knowledge.
Yes, that is very
true.
So
that's very helpful in this case.
Yes.
So, pretty much, you've been shooting since high school, which was like, how many decades ago?
Since my freshman year, so.
That's like a million years ago.
24 years.
Old as shit.
Yes. And my old ass just finally got a new modern bow, considering the last bow I purchased, I was graduating in 1996.
So that bow can no longer be found, unless it's like a relic.
That thing still works.
Antique.
Hell, the bow I got when I was 14... That thing just got retired because of the threads on the slide stripping out. But the PSE I bought when I was 18, I still have that. And then we have the Martin Recurve that we first taught you on.
Yeah, so trip. Yeah, that's where I learned. Because it was the come shooting with me. No.
Yes, for 10 years as a married couple, I'd go every couple months, you know, go shooting. And it was always, you know, come on, baby. You always say you want to learn. No, next time.
Next time.
Then after about 10 years of that, I had enough.
Yeah, next time.
And it was, you know, like I said, so after 10 years of marriage, it was like, all right, I've had enough. You're coming.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I was hooked. Yep. Like, this is great.
You were hooked on the first day.
But it's what, a Martin recurve?
Martin full recurve. Yeah. Probably give or take around 15 to 18 years old. Full wood, full handmade. One of these hasn't been made in this style, at least hasn't been made in about a decade.
It was last like sitting time, in the it was sitting in the closet. I was like, yeah, what the hell is this? And I just dusted off.
Sitting in the closet in a sleeve. And then it became a wall mount. And I kind of like hid the fact that, I had it appraised and found out the value was $600. I was like, all right, it's nice. It's a wall trophy. You know, I'll shoot it like once a year, make sure it stays broken in, whatever. Always keep the string waxed. And then finally had enough of you saying, I want to learn, and then saying no next time. And said, all right, you're going. I learned on a recurve for the first, 2 weeks, whatever. That's how you're going to learn, because I think you should learn instinctual first and then compound. And first day out, we went to the local Gander Mountain here. That has a nice 30-yard range with technically 6 people can shoot at one time.
No, you can't fit 6 people in
it. It's set up. Each target's supposed to be
that
2
is
people.
Like
it's,
the
it's a tight
designed like meant to be.
That's the design. That's
if you had a bunch of like twig midgets standing next side by side.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, once I gave you like the basic idea, all right, stand like this. Which is the way I was taught, and then the counter guy, James, who is an avid shooter, 3D shooter, avid hunter, gone on elk hunts and boar hunts and everything else like that, he came and taught you a more aggressive stance, lean more into it, and which actually worked for you better because the pull weight on that bow is actually quite significant for...
Yeah, first time shooting, it's pulling back a recurve. It's not exactly any kind of Robin Hood you're looking at, and he's just running through the forest, pulls out a bow. It's like, I'll just pull it back now. Oh, look, bullseye. So easy.
Yep. Well, you got a bullseye your first day.
I think that was luck.
Well, it probably was definitely luck. But you still did it. You hit a dead X, too. It was right on the X. So.
Yeah. First
and we
have
pictures
out,
to prove it, too.
Yeah,
so.
Just a helpful hint. You don't have to be an expert for this. If you go first time out and you get a picture of you going first time out and then you get a bullseye just for luck, get a picture of it.
Hopefully it's just lag.
Yeah, it's just lag. Yeah, it's our first one, so it's...
Yep, getting used to the process. Or some of our family that were... I'm now going to be teaching two of our family members tomorrow. Well, one is technically going for his second time, but the first time he went with me was a shit show because it was several of the family members all at once fighting over three bows.
Yeah, but that's how it's supposed to be, family.
Yeah, but it's
family's all, supposed to
well,
fight
technically,
over things.
Three guys were fighting over who's going to shoot two different bows, the recurve or the green PSE, because before I retired the Browning, nobody besides me can pull it back because it was at 78 pounds.
True.
Yeah,
first time out, you had to be a beast to pull that out.
Yeah, exactly.
70-plus pounds.
But tomorrow is going to be a little bit more focused with him. I actually get more one-on-one time. I got the PSE turned down to 45 pounds, so it should be a nice, easy pull for him. He's a little bit taller than me, but also I only shoot a 28.5-inch draw, and that bow's set up for 30 right now. So it should accommodate him. I'm going to teach him how to properly operate a trigger release. And then I also have your cousin coming with me, who is also just as athletic and competitive as you.
Yeah, that's very true.
When it comes
true.
To many things. And she is going to learn on the recurve just like I taught you.
Well, it's always good to learn on the recurve.
It gives you more respect for it.
Yeah, I have more respect for a compound now.
The technology
and everything else. Yeah. Well, you got a recurve where you pull it back and it's not letting up. Like, you have to.
Well, 35 pounds
that,
is 35
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, you have to keep that pressure back. Mm-hmm. And the longer you sit there and aim, you know, your shoulder starts giving out.
Yep, you got the shake from holding.
And then to the point where it doesn't even hit the target. I think my first round, let's just say round, which is visit. Like to the actual range, let's just say.
Our first trip to the range was 5 hours.
Yeah,
because
that is
you were
very
like,
true.
This is awesome, let's keep going.
Yeah.
You went till your arm was going to fall off your body.
Yeah, and it got to the point where my arrow like completely went over the target. I mean, I hit like wall.
Yeah. You did bend one of the, thank God, the one of the decade old Easton aluminums that I had for spares.
Yeah, those were also ancient.
Yes.
Those were relics.
But even. The Bowtech said only one of them was bent.
Yeah, very true.
So I do maintain everything we have very well.
Very true. So, but even still, now that I found out the true value of that recurve, the thing sits in the wall.
Oh, yes. And that was the one thing that James did correct me on. When I told him, the last time I got it appraised was about 10 years ago. And they said,
it's a little more than that.
It was, it was worth $600. And he goes, $600? He laughed at me and he goes, I can make a phone call right now and get you between $800 and $900. And your face about hit the floor.
Yeah, I was like, we're not touching this anymore.
That was the asshole. You're going to let me shoot this thing? What's wrong with you?
Because I was manhandling it through Gander Mountain.
Yeah, well.
No clue. I was getting some looks by certain people, probably wondering, like, why is she walking around with that thing?
James did say that the one older guy that was there that was getting some heavy duty, like high end arrows cut, he was either getting FMJs or Pro Series gold tips cut for his new broadhead setup. And the guy said to James flat out, do they know what she's shooting?
Yeah.
And James's response was, he knows.
She doesn't.
Yeah, she doesn't obviously. Know what she's shooting. And he's taking it as, that's my wife, and it's her first time, and I'll let her use whatever she wants.
Mm. Hey, it worked out.
Yes, it did work out.
So, let's see. First time out, after shooting recurve, we went and bought two new bows.
Yes.
So, I have a PSE Stinger X.
Yes, you have a Stinger X, single cam style, one roller cam. You have the 70-pound model, which is a little bit overkill for someone your size, being that you're, a 5'2" female. 60 pounds for a female would have been a max bow for a normal female. Mm. But you are not. You are extremely
abnormal.
Athletic. No, you're not abnormal. You're extremely athletic, and you're extremely strong.
Yeah, a little abnormal.
So, Yeah, abnormal. That's why when we go mentally to a gym, abnormal. You can do 200-pound flexes with your calves.
Yeah, well, let's not bring that into this.
So, just to prove how strong you actually are. But in my mind, the Stinger X is probably one of the best starter bows on the market.
It's that like price tag was a good starter bow for me.
Not well, we lie. Also got Listen, a very good... No.
When you're first starting out... I'm sorry, but if you're starting out in a hobby or you're like, hey, I want to hunt, you know, whatever it may be, you're looking at that price tag because it's going to be an investment into something that you don't know if you're truly going to stick with. Like, I mean, come on, let's be real. Like, how many times do we start hobbies that we're like, yeah, this is great, this is great, and then we're like, nah, we lost interest. I'm not saying like everyone is. But oh, I'm yeah, just saying, but like some people are gonna do it, and then like,
yeah, but
I don't have time. I gotta work so much. I got you know this or that.
No, well, that our time is short. We have our son all the time. You know.
Yeah, but that's not an excuse. But you know, some people like I'm not gonna lie. You look at the price tag. Not everyone has all this money to drop on you know this top of the line bow with all well, I think the, that's the you know
especially
extras
now
and...
with you know you got all your social media stuff and there's guys out there that bring a lot of attention to the archery community and you know we both pretty much follow the same guys and you know they have a big effect on who's buying what. And, you know, two of the biggest guys out there that we both watch constantly are John Dudley and Cam Haynes.
Well, yeah, you know, you have to watch an expert, I mean.
Right, but that's the thing is, like, oh, you know, you see what people are shooting and you want that.
Well, yeah.
You know, I know people flat out that are going to say, oh, this, you know, I'm going to do this. Meanwhile, damn well, we both know they're not going to. They'll do it for 3 months and stop.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We know the type of person that's going to go out and say, this guy's shooting a Hoyt Carbon Defiant. I got to go buy a Hoyt Carbon.
Oh, yeah. I would love to be able to go buy his setup and be like, yeah, I could shoot as great as him, but
right.
I ain't hitting the same targets at the same
yards. I mean, right now, we know we both like it. We both, you know, I used to hunt a lot more when I was younger. I haven't done it in years. You know, we've relocated and everything like that and changed jobs. And now we have, you know, our son. But now we're having the spare money and the spare time again. We're getting everything all settled all over again. So we bought what in my opinion is two really good bows. You are one of the best starting bows that's on the market, and me more so one of the more intermediate bows.
Yeah.
Sure, it's powerful and it's fast, but it's heavy.
Well, the nice thing with mine is that you had so many extra you had an extra sight. You had a couple extra.
I had extra sights. I had two extra whisker biscuits because I had originally switched from aluminum arrows to carbon arrows. And then someone else had given me another carbon whisker biscuit. So your bow, I mean, we bought your bow, I think it was for $259 stripped.
Yeah, and bare, nothing.
For $259, bare, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
You know, and then we had the extra, I think I had the Cobra carbon fire, Cobra fiber optic 3-pin sight, and I had one of the extra whisker biscuits, plus we had an old extra stabilizer, so we said, screw it. And we threw it all on that bow and went back in the range, still on the same day as the recurve, after shooting the recurve for 3 hours. And within a half hour, you were sighted dead on at 10 yards.
Well, 10 yards is pretty close. I mean...
Yeah, but it's also... It was your first time shooting a recurve and a compound. And a recurve all in the same day.
Yeah, that is true. That was like first shot.
By the end of your 3 hours on the recurve, you were hitting the target not bullseye, but you were hitting the target arrow after arrow after arrow. Five arrows straight you were shooting, and it was target, 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 target.
Yeah, and then, well, once you move from recurve to compound, and then you have a sight, whereas, you know, the recurve, you don't have any of that. And then you're like, oh, wow, I got all these, like, new features, you know, that I can and use, that it makes everything so much easier. That's why, you know, you kind of respect it a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
It's you have all these other things that help you... you know, sight in, and you know, you have the let off, so you're not constantly holding the, you know, all that weight.
Right. And your bow is, the day you started shooting, it was at 32 pounds. and it has a 75% let off, which is a fantastic let off. So realistically, you were pulling 32 pounds for, you know, 75-80% of the draw length, and it went from 32 pounds to like 9 or 8 or 7 pounds or something like that, the equivalent is. And you were holding it like a champ, no problem, you know. And like I said, within a half hour, you were pretty money. You were in the white circle on the target all half a dozen arrows.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that hard to pull back for me. I mean, someone else who's not as, I guess, like we work out and stuff like that, you know. So it's like our, you know, we're pretty decently in shape. We're not, you know, don't get me wrong. We're not, you know, these incredible athletes that can go and run ultras, and we have a
Cam.
Yeah, I know. He's a beast to run all those ultras. I mean, if I could only run as like a quarter of what he runs, that would be
I mean, he just phenomenal. Completed that Bigfoot 200, so yeah, you gotta give props to him for that. I mean, he's what, 48 years old? And making people my age in their 20s looking like chumps.
Yeah, that's I mean, pretty much it. Like, that was...
But he lives by what he says. He is trained to be the ultimate predator.
Yeah.
He is no joke.
Yeah, whoever is on the other side of his sight, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Yeah,
whoever. Hopefully it's not whoever, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's more like whatever. Wait, don't take that out of context. Yeah. It's more like whatever, animal-wise. Yeah, exactly. But, man, that's like, he's a beast. I have to give him props.
He's the guy you watch on a YouTube video that's like 10 minutes long, and the only thing you could think about the rest of the day is, I should have took my bow outside in the backyard. I should have been shooting. Why am I not running trails? Why? Because I'm a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you could run 5Ks, especially where we live. We live kind of like mountainous area.
Yeah.
Me and you can run a 5K. Yeah, whatever.
We're in the Batcave.
Yeah, we're in the Batcave, yeah. But, you know, me and you can go out right now and run 5Ks.
Yeah.
No problem.
All day long.
Yeah, easily, you know. Not a fast pace, you know. We're probably doing, you know, 10-minute miles, 9-minute miles, whatever, taking our time, but we can do it through the mountains nonstop.
But,
as long as we got some good jams on the headphones, because once I get a dull-ass song, I'm like, I don't want to do this no more.
Fuck this, I quit.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, you know, having that, it's, you know... Pulling that back wasn't such a, you know, big thing for me. Whereas someone else who's starting off just like me at the same level of point of start.
Right.
You know, they might have to work at it a little bit longer. But I was only on that for what? Like
2 weeks.
2 weeks, was it?
The next Saturday we went again. And you wanted me to turn it up, but I told you no. Because you did two rounds and then you started to wander.
Yeah, but we also have to make a point to say that it was on the learning setting.
Yes, it was on the lower poundage setting, which only maxes out at 45 pounds.
Yeah, so it's like Stinger X has two settings that you can...
Yes, it's got a learning one, which can also be considered like as age-wise or your max tension. The lobe on the cam is able to be moved, so you can go from 32 pounds to like 45, 46. And then the second you move that lobe into performance mode, your minimum is 52 pounds.
No, it's not minimum.
That was the minimum. All the way back down, it goes from 52 to 70
so,
at the minimum on performance.
So I'm all the way backed out?
Your bolts are backed out.
Oh, you just really, max. Like, killed my ego.
No, you don't have to kill your ego. You're shooting at 52 pounds.
Yeah.
That's impressive. That is, in the state we live in, having 6 point, 8 point, 10 point bucks, 30 yards, 52 pounds will drop one of those deers with the right broadhead.
Well, that's my plans.
That's both of our plans.
Yeah.
But we both have extravagant plans. Her major plan is she wants to go hunt an elk.
Listen, my point, I would like
no deer, just she wants to like go straight to elk. That's not how it works.
Yes. So I would like to have this go from a beginner, like you know, starting off on recurve. And then I want this podcast to give someone else who's also at my level not to have just options of following only experts, only people who have done it for years, only people who know the ins and outs, which is good to listen to because you're not going to learn everything properly from someone else who's learning. I mean, it's not going to happen. But it's, I want it to be something that's nice to hear that, oh, holy crap, they're on the same level as me. And, oh, okay, I was thinking the same thing. As long as, you know, not thinking you're the only one with the same dumb questions or the same, well, no question's dumb. But, you know, you do give that second thought to.
I can't believe this got answered or questioned. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
We've had those moments where someone asked me a question and you just give them like, for real, bro? Did you just ask me that?
Yeah. So, and then I would like to continue following, you know, all of our, we're going to be trying out like new things that we order, new sites, new things for the bow. Hopefully.
But we're going to keep it so that it's more enthusiast and the new person based. We're not going to be really going after the super, super high end.
No, because it's got to be affordable. Like, you know, we're two normal people. We have our son. You know, we have a budget, which is the majority of people. You have a budget. Mm-hmm. You can't go out and spend, you know, hundreds of dollars on these extras or hobbies or whatever you want. So, you know, we'll be trying to maybe post up what we think about certain things, deals that we found. We will be starting a
YouTube channel.
Yeah, that'll be eventually too.
That's more so going to be the reviews for the stuff that we buy.
Yeah, but hopefully I'd like to get to the point where, you know, both of us are going out hunting and working up to showing video of us going out on hunts and doing podcasts of what happened. You know, so it's kind of like a whole storyline. Exactly. Like you guys are following us through us start to finish.
Yep.
Which is like a good generalization.
It's pretty much going to be. It's going to be literally like, even for me, I'm going to take everything we do as a perspective of how we're doing it with you.
Yeah.
That's what the whole focus of this is going to be. It's going to be the person who's new.
Yeah.
Who wants to try it, who wants to see what other people are doing, but also we're going to take it from the perspective of being more cost effective for a new hunter.
Yeah.
There's no reason a new hunter has to go out and spend $1,500 on a bow. Unless you have pockets like that, then fine.
Then in that case, we're looking for friends.
Yes, who want to donate some stuff.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's looking for rich friends.
But like your bow shoots at over 300 feet a second.
Mm. See, that's when your Asian skills come in.
No, that's on the sticker. I'm very good at math. But no, your bow has the ability with no problems to kill anything within 90 feet of you.
Mm.
As long as you make the good lung shot, we can try different broadheads. It doesn't matter if we go with muzzies, if we go with toxics. I personally like toxics just because they're cool and they seem to have the, what was the reference they used? The meatworm effect?
That sounds wrong.
It does sound wrong, but it does its job. Watched a video the other day on YouTube. Guy shot an elk at 25 yards. Dead lung shot. The elk took 3 steps, coughed, and blood went everywhere. And this thing dropped.
Wait, 25 yards?
Yeah.
That's really close.
He was close.
That is really close.
Well, he was stalking. He was also ground stalking.
Might as well go up and pet the thing.
No, you'd probably get fucked up.
Oh, yeah, you definitely would.
You'd probably get messed up pretty good. Hey, bro, you want a pet? As he whacks you with his horns and you go flying into a tree.
Santa.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the big reindeer.
Get your one of your friends drunk enough.
But, but that's the whole idea of this channel is just to make it so that it's for the new person. It's that enthusiast that wants to go out there who, you know, that new person, because a lot of people, you love watch all these pros and go, well, I can't do that. Well, of course you can't do that.
Because they've been doing it for like 20 years and this is your first week.
Right, exactly. It's just, so we're going to follow our whole process. We go at least once a week to the range. Like you said, we're going to be testing out more so of the enthusiast style sites. So you're going to see us do a lot of testing on Trophy Ridge sites.
Yeah, what are the ones we ordered?
We have two, almost three True Glows coming.
Well, hold on. What do we have on our bows right now? Because
we have the old PSE, the green one, has the Cobra that was on your bow.
Okay.
Originally.
Right.
Now you have the Trophy Ridge Joker 3 on yours, and I have the Trophy Ridge Joker 4 on mine.
Which is not bad.
which they are. They're both fantastic sights. I mean, your bow your bow at 50 yards right now, your first pin is 20.
Yeah.
Your second pin's 30. Your third pin is going to be 40. So your bow, technically, if you were only going after a 40-yard shot, tree stand or not, whatever, your bow can do damage with what you have.
Right.
But you do always have the one gripe. My pins are too close together.
Yeah, so, you know, looking through that thing, it's kind of, you're looking at it like a jumble of
right.
pins.
Right. So
for my yards of what I'm shooting at.
Right, right. It's also the new factor. You're also newer to shooting.
Right.
Whereas I've been shooting since I'm 14. But we also have the the True Glow Rival FX coming, which is a 5-pin, but it's also a longer arm length from the riser. So it'll be farther out, so there'll be a little bit more of a gap between the pins. We have the True Glow Archer's Choice, which is a single pin adjustable sight, which is the one I think you're going to tend to favor. Because I think if you get that single pin where everything's in the center and you can mark your 10, your 20, you know, we'll get you the True Glow tapes.
At one
pin, hit him with a range finder, boom, he's at 30 yards. Move the dial, lock that bitch in place, and 30 yard shot, and it's dropped.
Yeah, I would. I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to...
And anyone who's going to go and buy a rangefinder, do yourself a favor, just because I've seen it. My friend bought one, and he screwed up. Always get a rangefinder that has angle adjustment on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because a rangefinder will not... If it doesn't have angle correction or angle adjustment on it, where basically it has a self-leveling attribute to it, it will do a 30-yard shot. If the deer is 30 yards from you in a tree stand or whatever, it will say 30 yards. But the problem is you're elevated, so the 30-yard shot is actually not 30 yards because you're already starting from above.
Them damn hills.
It basically is what it is. It's gravity. That's all it is. You learn to I can actually also post a picture of the chart for your height of your tree stand or whatever,
them
but we'll do that
hills.
Later down
it's
the line.
It's all about them hills.
But, you know, pay attention to the stuff you're going to buy.
Earth is flat.
But like she said, we're going to be testing out a bunch of different sights. We're going to be trying out different arrow rests. Right now, like we both said, both of our bows have the Whisker Biscuit. Whisker Biscuit's probably one of the most trusted, arrow rests out there. It's full containment.
I'd say it's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward.
It's the simplest one. You slide the arrow in and you're done.
Yeah, there's really no, even with me shooting a compound for the first time ever, like laying my hands on a compound. I mean, we had that, and I didn't have to question anything about it. I mean, it's so simple that you just look at it and you're like, okay. I mean, there really isn't anything to it.
No,
I mean, once
not.
You start learning the components of all the pieces of your bow, you start realizing that okay, it's pretty much simple.
Right.
It's just getting everything adjusted to what you like, what works best for you.
Right. Well, then also down the line, you can change up your color scheme. Like there's strings for bows that are known to shoot or that'll help the bow shoot faster because maybe the string's lighter.
Oh, I thought you were still on color schemes.
No, no.
Does it
well,
say
no,
what
I'm
it's
saying
a faster color?
No, no, no. some guys on YouTube would say so, you know.
You're
a sellout to green, man.
This is not the car channel.
No, no.
The sticker's not
going to
make your
trust
car
me,
go faster.
There's Archer channels that they do that same ricer shit. That
is that
the car
your bow
does.
Out?
Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah, just there's no stickers involved. So, you know,
oh,
you ain't got to worry
wait.
About a kicking VTEC apparently from a tree stand.
So does it mean that if I put a bunch of stickers on my bow, the arrow's going to shoot faster?
Oh, that's right. We lived in Florida. Wasn't that the rule down there?
Yeah.
This sticker adds 20 horsepower, bro. No, but there's like I think there's like the vapor strings, which are, you know, people, they claim adds 10 feet per second to your arrow. Drop away arrow rests are known and can actually be chronographed where they will add 5 to 10 feet per second because that arrow rest touches your arrow for about 6 to 7 inches and then drops completely off it where the arrow is free floating. So it doesn't have your arrows are shorter than mine by a lot, but let's say mine, it doesn't have 25 inches, 28 inches of drag.
Again, with all those numbers, you know, when we actually try it out, then I'll believe it or not. I mean, I'm sure that all these experts that are saying, obviously it works, They're gonna know more than me.
Right. Like, obviously, we're also gonna try out some of the more enthusiast style arrows.
We
gotta
see if it's worth the. I mean, you know, sometimes it's that extra amount that you're spending versus what you already have is kind of like, well, what you already have work just fine. I mean, you know, if you're competition shooting or you're going out for some big game, like if you're going out for, what is it? Ram takes a while to.
Oh, Ram's a lottery ticket.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're going out for, if you're like that serious hunter, that, you know, you picked up the lottery ticket that, or whatever the official name. I know I'll probably get corrected.
It is what it is. People will correct us. Yeah, but it's literally a drawing.
Anyway, you go after that, then you kind of want to have your setup, you know, on point. Like, everything that's going to help you.
Yeah, but what's going to work on for someone else is not going to work.
True.
Cannot work for you.
That is very true.
You know, we know plenty of hunters that they're still using whisker biscuits. Why? Because they can walk through the woods with an arrow on the string and the arrow won't fall off. There'll be no ding, 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 ding sound as the arrow's flopping around in a full containment drop away.
Mm.
So, you know.
Well, you wouldn't be walking around with it on your bow, wouldn't you?
There are people
have to...
No, there are people that walk around with that broadhead sticking out as they're walking through the trails.
That seems
awfully stupid and dangerous. But there's a lot of people in society that are stupid.
For someone who's kind of learning everything, that seems kind of, I don't know, something you shouldn't do.
Yes, it is something you shouldn't do. You should have your arrows in a quiver or some kind of containment, depending on if you have the backpack that the arrows will slide in and out of. If you have, you know,
the hip quiver.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. The hip quivers or whatever. Your arrows should be locked away while you're walking away. They're quiet. They're held in by rubber. I mean, all you do is have to slightly spin the arrow and it comes off the quiver. I mean, it's not hard to do it, but people are lazy. So they're going to walk around with their hand holding the grip with the arrow on it in case they see something. Because people think that the 4 seconds or 5 seconds, whatever it can be, that it's going to take you to slightly rotate that arrow, pop it off the quiver, put it on the string and draw back, even if it's 10 seconds.
Mm.
They think it's going to make a difference. Guess what? You step on a damn twig while you're pulling that, you know, you're pulling your string back because you're not paying attention. It's going to hear you and then it's going to run. So you're screwed anyway.
Yeah, that's very
so
true.
So why not just take your time, get yourself to a spot, dig in, give yourself that couple seconds, 10, 15, 20, if it's half a minute.
Right.
Just do it. Just relax. Because then you also have to worry about getting the, you know, the deer jitters or, you know, whichever.
The deer
jitters.
Shitters.
Not shitters. Jitters. The deer jitters or whatever people want to call it. Where you start shaking because your adrenaline's going through the roof and you're trying to stay calm. And, you know.
Can't we coin that term?
What?
We're officially coining that term.
What? The deer shitters?
The deer shitters. When you step on a twig and you completely shit the bed. It's a deer run, so it's a deer shitter.
The deer shitters. Where
we're
screaming,
coining that term.
Where you're screaming shit as you step on that fucking twig and that 10-point buck's like, asshole, I'm out.
Yeah, it's pretty much it.
You know. As you can tell, we're going to try and keep this podcast quite lively. We have been listening to a lot of other archery podcasts from several different groups.
Brought to you by Rolling Rock.
Yes, and we're drinking Rolling Rock beer while we're sitting here.
Yeah.
Not
sponsored, but
no sponsors, but they can sponsor us. We love Pennsylvanian beer.
Yeah.
But we're going to try and keep it lively, more humorous. We have found that a lot of the archery channels out there, both YouTube podcasts, very informative, but they're very monotone.
Monotone. Yeah. I kind of want to take a nap. And this is not discounting any of the experts on there. I mean,
stuff they give you is full facts.
They know, but I feel like I'm sitting in class,
you know. Hell, there's one guy we listen to and watch all the time. His videos, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome videos. Not going to name him because I can't discredit him because even the shit that he says during his podcast is on point every single time.
Yeah.
It's fact. But I almost wrecked my damn truck. It's so monotoned and boring.
Yeah.
Even though what he's saying is true and you got to listen to it because you can't not. The dude was a champion. Fantastic hunter. And he has everything going for him, you know, sponsorships and the right bow and the setup that works. And He's got everything. But it's just very bland. I don't. You can't listen to bland. You know, To me, the only time I want things to be calm is when I'm pulling a string back. That's when I have to calm myself because it's me, the bow, the target.
Yeah, you kind of need to like zen yourself down.
Right.
And focus. I have to say, it's very stress leaving.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's zen-like.
Yeah,
because there ain't nothing around you. How many times have you, you know?
You got to just think about what you're doing. You just got to tone. You got to tune everything out.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's almost
like tunnel vision. You almost get tunnel vision when you're shooting because you don't know, especially if you're shooting with a peep sight, you don't see anything around you unless you're one of those people that can actually shoot with both eyes open, which I can do with a rifle, but not with a gun, with a bow. But you just, it's just a fantastic feeling. I mean, there's nothing that I've, it's like when I've had the conversation with Chris. Our friend Chris is an avid gun person, loves guns, home defense, goes to ranges, practices.
Yeah, if there's ever a like end of the world scenario.
Oh, he's the zombie apocalypse house.
Yeah, go to Chris's house, which is undisclosed. Yeah, it'll just be marked with a sign, Chris's house.
But it'll be marked with a sign that says Chris's house. Even though we don't actually call him Chris, that's his actual name.
Yeah,
we don't refer to him as that.
Yeah. We'll just call him Chris.
But. Gun fanatic. Every time we go visit him and we go on vacation and we have the whole, you know, wives and husbands and kids together.
Look at the new gun.
Yeah, it's like, oh, dude, I got a new gun. Let's go to the range. I have never left a gun range where I'm settled. Never.
No.
I go to a gun range. We let off. I mean, damn, the last time we went, what did we go with? 500 rounds of 223, 200 rounds or 300 rounds of 9mm, 250 rounds of 40 cal.
Yeah.
And we dumped it all. We buried ammo that day like crazy. And I left the range like I was pumped. Like I just came out of a gym. I was ready to let's go on the street and beat the hell out of someone.
Yeah.
I don't leave the gun range like that.
Not as relaxing as archery.
No, it's not.
Archery is very, very relaxing.
Guns are great. I love hunting with guns and shooting guns and whatever. But you don't get that calming feeling from shooting a gun to me, at least. You get that more, you know, it's loud. You get the bang, you know. And to me, it's more so that it's more aggressive. And I think that's one of the reasons why both of us are so attracted to shooting bows is both me and you are naturally aggressive people.
Yeah, we've kind of toned down in our
age, a bit, you know, and the biggest factor of that change was our son.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we had a kid. Oh, shit. And let me tell you, folks, when you have a child, that whole, oh, you'll calm down when you have a kid, that shit's true.
Yeah.
There is no lie about that. That is dead true. But... you know, it's, and that's where, like, I mean, the archery is completely different. It's just, it's you, you know, half the time when we go into the range, we got our membership and everything like that. And, you know, we just go in, it's me, you, we put the cell phone down, we put some music on. It's not even, you know, anything heavy. And we do listen to heavy rock, you know, we'll put like the 2000s rock channel on or something like that. And we'll just shoot. And half the time, I'll tell you, I don't even know what the hell song is playing.
Yeah. Unless it really sucks.
Yeah, then we skip it. Yeah.
Then it kind of sticks out. It ruins your zen.
That's when we're like, okay, took the shot, and we're going to now ban this song.
Yeah, your zen goes to shit at that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's just very,
it's very relaxing.
Therapeutic is
a good word for it. But it's also something that, I mean, me and you do together. And we always enjoy things we do together. I mean, back in the day, we used to drag race cars together and then...
Work out together.
But workout is also... Workout and anything else. I mean, the Spartan races we've done, the Savage races we've done. We are a very competitive couple internally with each other.
You just win because I always win.
Oh, that's fine. I don't care if you win. You ain't going to beat me running through the woods.
Yeah.
You run in the street, you'll kick my ass. But, you know, we feed off each other that way. You know? And that's like one of the good things. Like if couples shoot together, I mean, it's like a relaxing thing, you know, as long as you don't go in and like, oh, you're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. Even when I point things out to you, I'm like, hey, try not to do this, you know, try to, you know, even like when you pull the trigger on the release, try to just follow through straight back, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, because it's just, you know, especially when you're starting out. You got your form. Your form is, you know, not going to be perfect. There's going to be days where you start getting tired. Your form starts to go to shit. I mean, you know, your arrows go all over the place. But you can kind of start telling, like, you know, when your arrow hits a certain spot on the target, you know, like, well, the couple times that I missed, that I pulled, as soon as the arrow was released, I knew it. I knew I pulled to the right. I knew I pulled to the left. I knew my, you know, my my elbow was down. You can kind of start figuring out, you know, what you're doing, mm-hmm. especially when you're getting tired. You know? Oh, yeah. After, you know, shooting arrow after arrow after arrow, you kind of, you know, you have to build up that endurance.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. As a new archer, you have to, like, know your limit. You know, you can't go in and be like, oh, I'm going to, this dude shoots 70 pounds. I'm going to shoot 70 pounds. Hell, we've been in the range where, you know, you get the whole ego thing. Oh, how much are you shooting? And guy was like 6'3", probably like 240. He's shooting 60 pounds. And here I am, you know, 5'10", doing 75 like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, just know what you can do. I'm not comfortable shooting anything lower than 60. I'm not.
Well, you've already gotten accustomed to it.
Yeah, that's also. I've been shooting 70 pounds since I'm 18.
Yeah, that's like, so, you know, like ancient years ago.
Oh, Jesus. She's going to keep digging me about my age, watch.
And then, you know, you just have to try new things, too. Like you with your stabilizer.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that we tried that even on your bow when we switched the stabilizer that's on my bow to your bow. It helped you. Your stabilizer doesn't have enough weight, but that's also like things we're going to be doing on this channel.
Yeah, trying.
There's going to be different sights. Which ones work for you?
Different releases.
Different releases. You know, I have wrist straps. We have four-finger releases.
So with the releases, though, there's pretty much like two releases.
No, there's a couple. You have lever style wrist strap. You have calipers, which we both have. Four-finger releases, three-finger releases. We happen to be True Fire release fans. Mm. That's what all of our releases right now that we possess. But we are going to be going to other stuff. Like I said, right now our bows are trophy ridged out. But all the sights we have coming to test are all True Glows.
Well, because that's what, you know, we got at a good price.
Yeah, but we were looking for stuff that was in the economic thing of a person that's new.
Yeah, like,
you know, nothing crazy. Nothing, you know, we don't need. A new guy who's shooting a bow is not going to use a 7-pin sight. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, so.
But,
you know,
we have 3, 4, 5-pin sights, single-pin starter sights.
Well, at least I look at the whole aspect of the price tag. Well, that's
what a new archer should look at. They should look at a person who's new to the sport, or if you want to even call it a sport, I really don't consider it a sport.
It's like a lifestyle.
Yeah, it is a lifestyle because you, in the end, if you do it either for the pleasure of shooting, just to shoot a stress relief, some people do it for competition, for targets. Some people do it for food.
Yeah.
You know, and I give props to those who are hunting for food. Like, we have no plans on ever killing anything just for trophy.
No.
And I've done it before, and I will continue to do it. If I get all my tags for our state, if I get, you know, 1 buck tag, 4 doe tags, or 2 buck tags, and whatever, I'm going to fill all of them. And that sounds greedy to anyone who's going to listen to this, but you have to hear me out on this because I've done it before, and I really like doing it. And I think my wife would probably follow suit also, which I'm pretty sure she would because she's the same type of person as me. What I normally do is we'll take... Give or take, I try to keep about 100 pounds worth of meat. So probably a buck and one small doe. All the rest of them, I will donate every single pound of meat to one of the food shelters in the local county. So, and I've done it before where I've gotten 6 tags. And, you know, and I've had other hunters argue with me. And once I tell them the reason why I will actually fill all 6 tags, no one has a gripe anymore.
No, because a lot of people are selfish.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that's what I do. You know, and that's what I think can be done. If you're, you know, I'm fulfilling enough for us, our family, whatever, by getting 100 pounds, 120 pounds in our freezer for the year, I'm not going to let the rest of the meat go to waste. There's no reason to stuff 300 pounds in there when we're going to eat, you know, venison once, twice a week at 2 pounds at a shot.
Yeah.
You know, why not do something purposeful?
Yeah.
Like, even when we go to visit our family out of state, we know we're going to go get our hunting tags in those states just for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have family down in Texas. Texas is hog crazy right now. Out of state, people can get, like, 10 tags.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to kill 10 hogs on a trip. That's retarded. You know, but if we go out there, realistically, you can get 100 plus pounds of pork off one hog. I'll kill two of them. No problem.
Donate one.
You know, granted, I'm not going to ship it to New York, you know, but we're there, you know, visiting our family, whatever. New York's a big ass state. I just got a dirty look. But I'll donate it down there to their local food shelter. I'm not going to, you know, I think that's something people should think about doing. You know, it's a good habit. You know, you're taking and then you're giving at the same time.
You got to give back.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Not just take.
Right. But we also know how to, like, grow our own vegetables and everything like that. So, I mean, we're very fortunate to be, you know, pretty intelligent when it comes to survival-wise. We don't, if we really had enough land and an adequate area to grow, we'd have our own, a full garden, tomatoes and lettuce and beans, string beans or whatever. Yeah. And we would do it ourselves, but... You know, maybe someday in the future we will be doing all of that at once. So.
You good?
I'm good.
You good? I thought you were going off on a tangent.
No, I'm just saying. Right. I just think it's a good practice to do. I think people should think about giving. You know.
You get really into your donating speech. Which is good.
Well, it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. You know. I just like making fun of you.
That's fine. That's a part of being married.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's part of being married.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, in the end, you know, we're going to, this channel is going to focus on the new hunter or the new archer, both target-wise. Like, we'll talk about when we go to the range. We'll actually, now we're going to start keeping track of points-wise, just for the hell of it. Or if... you know, if our bow tech that day, if they happen to have them, because they do rarely come in where they get the paper kill zone targets, you know, we'll, you know, be posting pictures and stuff like that, of the targets, you know, how we scored throughout the day. Hunting season where we live is about to start here. So right now, all the 3D shoots are going to be shutting down because they're going to be setting out lots of corn and lick sticks and everything like that for the deer to come in. But next year we'll be doing 3D shoots and several other events, and do some traveling in the local states and stuff like that to local events. We know about like shoots that are happening 2 hours from where we live and everything that we can think of. But we're going to be doing just a lot of stuff from the point of view of someone who's new, not someone who's experienced, someone
who
wants
to become.
The average person
that's starting out.
Right. You know, someone who wants to start the hobby.
Not just another expert.
Right, exactly. Exactly. There's going to be no claiming we're experts, because I don't claim I'm expert. I make a lot of shit shots.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's other times where I have a day of, like last week, breaking more than multiple arrows in one target.
Yeah, I don't know how that was happening.
So, you know.
And then I looked at my target and I'm like, really? I'm all over the place.
Well, that's what it is, though. You can't get discouraged. You know, you just have to focus on, all right, I went shooting. You know, there's some ideas that some people have. And granted, if you have a backyard where you can shoot your bow and you ain't got to worry about shooting a neighbor. There's guys that go out and shoot 100 arrows a day just because they love it.
Oh, yeah.
If we had that type of space, I would probably be outside shooting 100 arrows a day.
Honestly, I mean, if we had the backyard for it, you know, to safely shoot. I'm not saying, like, you know, someone with a neighbor that you can wave to every morning, go up in your backyard and shoot.
Right,
that'd
right.
be bad.
Yes.
Kill the neighbor's dog.
No matter how much you hate your neighbor, don't shoot your neighbor.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, I'd be out there every day. I'd be like, just give me an hour and I'll go out and shoot.
I don't even think it would be a half hour. Half hour, man. You can let off a bunch of arrows in a half hour.
Yeah.
So... All right, you got anything else for this first starting podcast?
No, I think I've...
Think you've said your piece here?
Yeah, well, no, I'm a woman, so I never really fulfilly...
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely true.
Tell my piece.
All right, folks. Well, thank you for listening to the first episode of the Off-Center Archers. And you'll be hearing more from us every single week.
Yep.
We'll be bringing... We have two sites coming in that we're going to be testing.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to give our review for our Joker series, our arrow sights or bow sights that we have right now. Like I said, she has the Joker 3 on hers. I have the Joker 4. And the indoor range we go to, I can't even get to the third pin half the time. Right now, my it's only 30 yards indoor. So right now, technically, we're only using two pins apiece. So, but, you know, you'll have like our good, our general ideas of how good they are for the new shooter. Keep in mind, like, we both kind of have our bows set up the same way. First pin's 20 yards, second pin's 30 yards.
Yeah, well, when you're only working with 30 yards, you kind of, you don't really have many options.
Well, right now, I mean, what do you have to aim on your bow? 1 inch higher to hit 10 yards?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't really, you don't have to do much more.
Right. So, but there will be reviews coming for everything we buy. Stabilizers.
Yeah.
Arrow rests. We're going to be trying different ones. You know, everything from, like a True Glow updraft, which is a limb driven drop away, to the real big ones, Rip Cords, Trophy Taker, Smackdown Pros.
Yeah, and we'll add in price ranges too, what we spent. Right. Because I like to find deals.
Right. You're going to hear how much we actually paid for them, because we both love Amazon. We both love eBay. We can track a deal down pretty good. We'll tell you the quality that it was, you know, the quality that we received it in. Basically, you're going to get a full rundown of what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Just so you have an idea of what you're getting yourselves into.
Yeah.
From other people on the same level.
Yep. But you're going to hear it from a new hunter, a new enthusiast perspective.
Yeah, enthusiast. You know, let's just use enthusiast.
Especially from Steph. Hers is going to be, okay, you know, the lighting's good, the pins light up, or the pins are too close together, they're too fat, can't it's overwhelming, I can't see past them. 10 yards, 30, or 10, 20, 30, it's blurry, there's no gap.
Right.
So you're going to hear things like that, and, you know, thinness of pins, and pretty much a good rundown of what you should look for as an enthusiast or a new person. You know, I know guys that love to run five pin sights. And then we know guys that are going to run nothing but the best. And they're going to go after, you know, the spot hog faller sight, which is, you know, $340, I believe.
Yeah, it's out of my range.
Yeah, that's not something we both want to go after right now.
Yeah.
So, but until next week, we'll be back with some more new hunter stuff. This is, you know, our intro episode of what we're about and who we are, and hopefully
you'll come back
and we'll be telling you more of how all the new stuff is rocking. All right,
we are out.